Loveline. Loveline.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline.
Loveline.
With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician. Buzz. I was over at CNN today, Drew.
Oh, yeah.
And they said, you do CNN a lot, yeah. But I wasn't aware of that. And I was sitting there alone in that room, that satellite room.
Yeah,
you know,
the side.
You just sit there in the sign. They get you there 20 minutes early, and you just sort of start getting hot, staring into this light for a long time. And there's a lone tech guy who stands behind the camera.
A male.
Male.
It's mostly women doing that. Yeah, I know who that is.
I had the tech guy.
Yeah.
With the beard.
Yeah.
What was this guy, too? You know, when the guy goes, how old are you? And he goes, 32. It's like, really? Haven't got accustomed. 24 months. Haven't got accustomed to being in your 30s yet. A little thinking. High school? Oh yeah, 40. So.
Did you meet Ann?
I don't remember, but I just said, so I was just sitting there, I had a little time to talk. So I said, you probably met a lot of people coming through here. And he said, oh yeah. And I said, who's your most memorable one? I mean, who's the best one? Who's the biggest name? And he's like, biggest a-hole, Dr. Phil. And I was like, yeah, that's awesome. That is awesome. And then I said, best guy, Dr. Drew. Drew's probably the best guy. I said, he's going to be delighted
that's
to hear
nice.
That.
I want to be on the opposite end of the spectrum from Mr. Dr. Phil.
But it's really how... I'm trying to think of the best gauge for knowing the cut of a man's
jib. The people, what they call below the line, know.
Yes.
They know.
Well,
Yes,
they know. But it's one of those things where if you ask the parking valet if Larry King was a good guy, he'd be like, oh, he's a great tipper.
Yeah, yeah.
He might not necessarily be a good guy. You know,
right.
Once in a while, there's those guys, maybe it's Sinatra, maybe it's Larry King, maybe it's whoever, who are great tippers. They're great. Here's the interesting thing, Drew.
Yeah.
There are the guys that are below the line guys. These are the parking valets. These are the doormen.
You're right.
These are the room service guys. And these guys will make up somehow for being a-holes by flipping these guys $100.
Right, yes.
And then they're like, this guy's got three kids. He lives in an apartment. He makes $400 a week. I just flipped him $100.
That's a big deal. Yeah.
But there's a guy who's two steps up from that guy who's getting his ass kicked by this guy.
Yes, yes.
Because he wears a tie.
Right.
And he makes $62,000 a year.
You're right.
That's the guy who I think gets his ass whooped.
Yeah.
If you think about it, when I think about the Oprahs or the Martha Stewarts or the Dr. Phils or the whoever the world's, I think they're good to the executives, way up on the food chain, and they probably are pretty good to the way down just to try to, the black guy's picking up the garbage, hey, my man, yeah.
Except once in a while.
Trying to be accessible, once in a while they'll freak on him.
Once in a while they'll show their real stuff through,
right.
And the guy goes, well, you know, next time, he'll remember me next time. It's about the money and stuff. Really.
Right, but I think it's that sort of in between.
Yeah. No, you're right.
Sometimes the tech guys, it's sort of professional, but they're making under $100,000 a year, and you can yell at them and sleep at night because they're not poverty stricken and all that stuff.
Right.
I wonder if those guys in the middle get their ass whooped just a little bit.
Oh yeah.
I think the middle.
Yeah, we do.
The middle. you think you're in the middle?
And I know too.
I think you're close to the bottom, Anderson. But the point is the middle gets their ass kicked a little bit. Like it's like taxes.
Yeah.
The rich guys, well, they pay a lot of taxes, but no skin off their teeth. And then poor guys, they don't pay any taxes. The middle, it stings. I think the middle. I think it's your ass kicked in the middle a little bit.
Yeah,
better be
right.
Up or down.
Yeah, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Let me explain what life is like, Drew.
Huh.
Big wave coming at you.
Yeah.
You either got to swim under it or you got to get over it. but you try to sort of plow through it. Oh, it just pummels you back onto the beach. That's what the middle does. Pummeled.
You know, I was thinking, I'm going to take my kids to Magic Mountain tomorrow for the big Fright Night thing and stuff, for their birthday and stuff. And I have to prepare like a day ahead to do those roller coasters. I mean, I have to like psych up for it. It's not like the old days where you get pansy. You know,
you start working out.
I think is it the aging brain or body or something, but I'm really kind of psyching up for it and wondering if I'm going to make it on some of them.
Well, you really think about what used to pass for a thrill back in the day. You do a long here's when I was a kid, and thankfully I've only went to these places once or twice. My parents.
Well, and the rides get more and more. You know, the more and more the bar is up constantly.
Yeah,
the bar's
higher. My parents were very magnanimous and very generous in the sense that they didn't want to raise dopamine levels in my head by taking me to any exciting places or amusement parks.
Might
or
give
doing
you the wrong
anything.
Idea.
Well, once you raise those dopamine levels, you burn out the pleasure centers. you see what I'm saying, Drew?
Yeah. All right. Yes, this is your mom's theory, I'm sure.
Right. So I stayed home and watched Hobo Kelly and Ben Hunter. Mm-hmm. You know, because they didn't want to burn out the pleasure centers in the brain by actually getting me a Schwinn or taking me to goddamn Magic Mountain.
And well, there was no Magic Mountain, by the way.
Right, but it
was
Disneyland.
Like Pacific Ocean Park.
I thought Disneyland was in Idaho. And yes, POP I had heard of, Pacific Ocean Park, because...
That's now the Santa Monica Pier, but it was POP back in the day. And then they invented things like Magic Mountain, which just overtook everything.
Right. Disneyland was just this sort of crazy place that was light years away that on very special occasion dying kids could go to if they died on or near their birthday or Christmas. If you died in the middle of the year away from your birthday,
you ain't going.
That's how I feel. Once in a while, I'd latch on with someone else's family or something, get dragged to something.
Now parents buy these year passes for amusement parks. Can you believe that?
Look, but the point is once you did get to Disneyland, and I said I went, three times and twice in my entire childhood, I would say, zero to 30, I probably went twice.
Wow.
It was, it was a full 50 minutes from where we live, Drew. Come on. But you got to understand, the Corollas, my mom had a, VW square back that would overheat when she got halfway down the driveway, like, and catch on fire.
Literally
up the street.
It. Yeah, actually.
No, it was like taking a wagon train there. Yeah. It's a big deal. Everything is huge.
Yeah, so you could stop at Knott's. No.
So... you would get into, some hollowed out fiberglass log. You would sort of slosh around a flume going, two knots. And then at the very end, there'd be a 15-foot drop off. You'd get a little water splash on you, and that was a rush.
Yeah.
Or you'd go to the Autotopia and get in these go-karts with steering wheels that weren't hooked up to anything. But they were just hooked up to machine screws. The wheel would just keep spinning and spinning and spinning. Yeah. By the way, that's how you know how different childhood was for us than your kids.
Yeah.
We were more than happy to go to the park, get into some sort of a sheet metal pirate ship with a wheel that just perpetually turned, not hooked to anything,
just
hooked to a pivot point. That was a good time. You knew it wasn't doing anything because two cement posts holding this thing into the ground. Hey, I'm steering. You could stay there for 4 hours. How long would your kids spin a wheel attached to nothing now?
They wouldn't even look at it. How long?
You can pretend you're steering this thing of bent steel that's cemented to the ground. You can pretend you're steering it like a pirate ship.
This is another thing, too. These frightening things. These people they hire to dress up like the ghouls and stuff.
Yeah.
Scare the crap out of people.
I know.
I mean, these guys are like, they're into it in sort of an unnaturally...
Yes.
They're sort of unnaturally into it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I know.
I was at Knott's Berry Farm last week. Scary Farm? Yeah, there.
Yeah.
And they're going around. I was watching this one guy, and he's going up and scaring like small children and stuff.
Yeah.
And
all I can tell you is the guys at Magic Mountain are like criminals or something. They really get off on scaring.
I think that they have erections while they're doing it.
Okay.
And I went up to one guy behind him, and I scared the hell out of him, and he freaked out on my ass. He tried to get me kicked out. It was awesome. He screamed.
The clown?
Yeah.
Scary clowns. They're like ghost clowns.
Clown dude,
yeah. Look, I don't go for that.
The whole scary thing.
And half the people there on acid.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, that's what you do. Nice. You get all jacked up.
It's pretty cool.
Through there,
it's pretty interesting.
It's cool, but walking through that maze, and the technology is crazy now.
Yeah. People you're talking about at you. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that sort of thing. Yeah. My mom handed out walnuts and black raisins for Halloween. Well, in the shell, walnuts.
That is symbolically very interesting.
Yeah. Well,
you ain't getting at the good stuff.
They made nice projectiles when they came back at the house when the people get down the street. Because, my mom would just take a handful of the walnuts and the sun-made raisins, and, the kids would hold the bucket out. Mom would just dip it in, bloom, bloom, and the kids would make it down the street.
They
see them checking out the contents, and then it was angry, firing.
What did she think?
Whole walnuts back. She wasn't going to, give these kids, promote hyperactivity by giving the kids chocolate.
And so what did she think of the projectiles coming back her way?
Hyperactive kids acting out.
I see it was the chocolate made them that way.
It was the Abba Zabba that forced them to throw
the Butterfinger,
the wholesome snacks back at the Corolla house.
Yes, got it. It's the man again.
Yeah. Disneyland. Getting the flume. There you go. Rocking that thing around. I mean, that was the thing.
Disneyland was never so much about the thrill ride.
You go to the Pirates of the Caribbean, and that initial drop down the thing, which was probably 18 feet, was huge.
Huge then. Yeah.
Huge.
Now I'm trying to psych up to go on something called the Goliath that's like 18 stories or something crazy.
Your kids
you been on that thing?
Your pleasure centers or your kids are burnt out.
I have one kid that just goes from run to one,
they have to
runs
start,
one to the other.
When they're older, they're going to start every morning with a huge bowl of heroin. just a big spooning it in.
It's not even funny.
Drew, we don't really know.
I know.
I always warn you about this. Like, I think kids need a certain amount of downtime.
Absolutely. We don't know what MTV is going to do to kids or what pornography
is going
to
do to them. We don't know what the pace is going to do.
Just for the sake of argument, imagine you had a pod of primates.
Right.
And you stick them on some crazy ride and then show them a bunch of arousing videos.
Right.
Be a behavior change?
Oh, and on the way from the videos to the ride, they got the iPod in.
Music going crazy, yes.
Yes, and they're using the iPod to look at photos now. I mean, there's not a second of downtime.
I don't know what it's going to be.
Right. But Drew, how's it? What about in your life? You know what I mean?
What do you mean?
Well, now you got the... You got the phone with the pager and the calculator and the BlackBerry and the BlueBerry. And now you're online all the time. It's just more, isn't it? Just more. Isn't it just speeding up the treadmill a little?
Well, I kind of am gratified by that stuff. So maybe something already wrong with me. But I like if I'm working out, I have to listen to lectures, tapes. I have to be doing something while I'm working out.
Yeah.
So I can't do one thing.
Yeah, but you didn't have to do that 20 years ago.
Well, there was no way to. You could.
Well, the point is you've been indoctrinated into the technology just as well as the kids.
Yeah, they bring you along too.
Yeah, good times. All right, who am I talk to?
That's fine.
That husbands, four. Ex-husbands, underarms. Betsy,
underarms,
undermines. Sorry, I just saw the under part. Betsy.
Yes.
23.
Yes.
What's up?
I had a miscarriage 2 months ago, and I haven't had my period since then. And tonight, I was nauseous, so I took a pregnancy test, and it came out positive. I'm wondering if it's a positive or if I'm really pregnant.
Well, you could be pregnant, and you also could have something called retained products of conception, meaning that they kind of left some stuff behind.
Worst ride at Magic Mountain, by the way. The worst. I was only up for 3 months, but a horribly,
only during Halloween.
Horribly conceived ride, I would argue. Inappropriate.
I had an ultrasound 3 weeks after the pregnancy, after I miscarried, and it came back fine. There was nothing left.
Well, then maybe you're pregnant again. I don't understand what you're asking me. Those are the two possibilities.
Okay, I guess.
Or a
I'm
false
pregnant.
Positive. Or it's kind of awfully quick, but it's possible.
All right.
I would be more inclined to think it's... Did you have a DNC after the miscarriage?
I did not. He said I didn't need one because...
See, I'm more inclined to think this...
Well, my hormone levels went back to zero, he said. My HGC count.
Oh, well, now they're back up again. All right.
So what are you going with, Drew?
Pregnancy.
Oh, you were going to go with what?
Because she said retained products, but she said that now her HCG went to zero. Now it's back up again.
Are you married?
Yes, I am.
All right. What's your hubby do?
He is in lighting, for stage lighting.
Opiate addict.
Oh, come on, buddy. Let's talk to Rachel. Let me say this, Drew. I don't know if I was talking about this. Was I telling you that I was over at Laguna Seca Raceway, and that I was going to be doing the grand marshaling of this American Le Mans race and all that stuff. I've done two things in about the last 3 or 4 weeks, and I realize. Remember when I was going to do the coin toss at the UCLA game?
Yes.
And everyone seemed to know what I was doing except for the 8 people that were standing around me in the center of the field when it came time to toss the coin.
And then, everybody else in the stadium wondered what you were doing there,
No one knew what to do. I've realized they were going to do the thing where I was going down to Laguna Seca. I was on the racetrack, and I was going to do the gentlemen start your engines thing. But there's never any communication between anybody, right. This guy and that guy and this guy and that guy. And I'm just standing out on the track for 45 minutes and nothing's going on. Yeah. And then the next minute, I know I get hurried over to the guy with the microphone. And he just does that, hey, it's Adam Carolla. And he's going to say these famous words. He just shoves the mic in my face. Like, I could have dropped the N-bomb.
Yeah. Or anything.
Ends. Start your engine. I could have said something horrible. Like, I never discussed it with him. I never discussed it with, the other guy. I never said, look, he's going to put the mic. And I didn't get into the part where is it gentlemen or is it driver? Is there women racing in this series? It was just boom, boom. And I realized nobody knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
That's sort of my thing.
Yeah.
It's starting to slowly dawn on me that no one really knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
You and I. But there you go. It confirms it again.
Thank you. But it was a thrill not tossing that coin and not talking to the crowd at the Laguna Seca race. Kristen?
Hi.
You're 20?
Yes. I have a question.
Hang a second, Kristen. What were you doing at CNN?
Well, I was doing entertainment,
entertainment show. Yeah.
Whew.
What?
Bad interviews on that. It's been a while. I mean, I forgot about that.
I do CNN probably at least once a week. For a while, I was doing even more than that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a difference amongst the different shows.
Yeah. Woo.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they get cute chicks who...
For the most part, news is particularly entertainment news. It's, Adam, what's going on? That's about whatever you have to say, set up and say it.
Yeah.
They're not gonna be throwing stuff over the plate at you.
Well, they did this... They did this one. The story leading into my segment was celebrities that are still making money, even though they're dead. You know, it's good to be dead. You know, Elvis makes $45 million a year, and John Lennon makes, $18 million a year, and Andy Warhol makes $30 million a year. Wow. And you'd be amazed at how much these celebrities who have passed, how much their estate makes. And then the thing that's funny is there's a guy who's an agent for these dead celebrities, which has to be a great gig because you don't have to take anyone out to lunch
or
anything.
Who's the publicist?
Publicist.
That's the more interesting person.
Yeah. Lennon didn't want the publicist even dead. He knew. He knew they were evil. The point is these guys are making millions and millions. So they give the top list. I don't know if it was, I know Elvis is at the top and then it's John Lennon and, Marlon Brando or something. It just keeps going down. And they finished that off, and instead they was laughing. Oh, it pays to be dead. All right, let's go to Adam Carolla. And I was like, who's so this ditzy blonde gets on the thing, and I go, who's last on that list? Ray Combs.
Oh,
and she's like, She
didn't know who it was.
This guy used to host Family Feud. He killed himself. It's like, okay.
Well, Adam, you're so funny. Yeah. Oh no.
But where would Ray rank on that list?
Yeah, he poor guy.
Well, I feel sorry
for him. By the way, he used to come up on this show. He'd show up. Wow. And he was one of the nicest guys he ever met.
Nice in a sort of compensating way.
Soup, yeah, like, yeah.
I had to run in, treadmill.
Yeah, well, definitely on a run.
Yeah.
Full sprint.
Yeah, he's a guy who had to listen to books on cassettes while he worked out yesterday.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But not a nice guy. No.
Really pleasant to be around.
Even a little Tom Arnold. Maybe in that sort of energy.
Yeah.
Sad case. A guy killed himself. Yeah. Obviously depressed.
Yeah.
I'm just making a joke of dead celebrities that weren't earning as much as, Elvis. I'm just guessing he'd be toward lower down. That's all. She didn't know what to make of that. Kristen.
Yes.
You're 20.
Yes.
What's
up? I've got a question for Dr. Drew. Basically, a while back. My boyfriend noticed some spots on his penis, and we went to the doctor, and they told him it was this molluscum contagiosum.
It was on his penis, or was on the sort of pubic area?
It was on his penis. And
wow, that's a rare, it doesn't usually get onto the penis.
Yeah, that's what they told him. It was a lot. And I guess like one of them actually even got infected and stuff.
Where do you get the molluscum contagiosum?
It's a virus and it just, you know.
He told us it was a pox.
Well, a pox virus.
Yeah.
Maybe the doctor put a pox. He was a gypsy doctor, put a pox.
Yeah, anything. Pox virus just means a virus that causes a vesicle. So there you go.
Yeah. Well, basically, my question is, what can it do to me?
It can cause a skin thing just like what he had. It doesn't do anything in the vagina. It does something in the pubic hair. It causes these little, like, zit-like things. Look like little zits that... You talked about the melon balling. That sort of shells out. They shell out the...
Yeah, this is what you can get out, right? But this is not the... penile papules.
At least he was not diagnosed that way.
What do you shell out? The molluscum?
It's just a little like a hard little knot.
Oh, I'd like to go with that.
Yeah. You'd have a good time.
Awesome.
But, yeah. What they did treat him with, since it was on the penis though? What did they treat him with?
They froze him.
Yeah, they froze him off.
Yeah, they froze him off, and basically, he's got some like on like where the pubic hair is, but then there's like a bunch of them on the shaft. And then my question was basically, because he asked the doctor, you know, well, what can I do to my girlfriend, you know, because they told him it was just kind of an irritating, just annoying kind of little
bump. Right, right.
But he was like, well, what can it do to her? And I don't know, it wasn't the doctor, it was the guy that was freezing him off, and he was just like, I have no clue. And then we weren't able to get a hold of another doctor.
It can't hurt you, cannot hurt you, but it can cause a skin problem.
Where do you get them from?
Sex.
Oh, it's an STD?
STD? Yeah.
Oh, it is?
Mm-hmm.
But an STD or STD?
It's not one of the classic STDs, but it is a sexually transmitted condition.
Let me say this. I was going down.
Really? You
going
were?
Down the hill.
Oh, I see.
Going down the hill this morning, and the cops are having themselves a little ticket riding party.
Yeah.
They actually were pulling over. Always disturbs me, by the way, to see more than one person pulled over.
Yeah, yeah.
Pulling over people in bunches.
Right.
And to me...
That tells you something.
To me, I don't mind, you know, I don't mind going after, you know, big game fish, but the gill netting part, you know, I don't like that gill netting thing.
Yeah.
It's just, takes a little of the challenge out of it.
You catch some dolphins in there.
Throwing dynamite in the water and then just pulling fish up in a huge gill net, you know.
Right.
I like the single pull action.
Yeah.
But the cops were pulling everyone over. But as they usually do, they wait at the bottom or in the middle of a steepish hill.
Right.
Because folks naturally go an extra...
Yes.
Without even knowing it. And here's the thing.
How many accidents on that hill, by the way? Have you lived there, what, 8 years?
No, nah, nothing.
One accident? One problem?
Littered with corpses.
Yeah.
The street is literally littered with corpses.
Go to the intersections where there's problems and sit there. That's fine.
Yeah, they go right in the middle of the long, wide, smooth straightaway. And here's the deal. When you're driving a car that was built in 2005, 35 miles an hour down a silky smooth piece of asphalt that's at a 10-degree grade, doesn't feel like you're moving.
Right.
Your tires are speed rated to 200 miles an hour.
Right.
I don't care if you're driving the cheapest Honda or Toyota or Daihatsu. At 35 miles an hour, it just doesn't feel like you're moving. So you take your foot off the brake, next thing you know, you're going 43, and the next thing you know, they've pulled a batch of you over to write a chicken-ass ticket. I just thought, really? Yeah, there's something about waiting on the slope side of the hill. There should be a thing that you should only be able to give tickets out when the grade is flat, and then you should just go ahead. You should go ahead and prorate. Like, it should be, like, okay, it was a 10-degree slope.
Give you 10 miles an hour.
35.
Yeah.
That brings you up to 45.
Right.
Whatever it is.
And, by the way, no nets.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing. Here's what I would like to see out of the fuzz. Man, the heat. Here's what I would like to see. Every goddamn time I go up the 405, everyone's going 43 miles an hour because it's an uphill grade.
I want them to get tickets, too.
Right, but they're on the other side of the grade waiting for people to go 67. The same guy who just won't move his foot.
But why don't we give the tickets to the guys going 40? If they're so unaware, they're so out of it that they can't tell when they're speeding.
Yeah, I got to slow down. Everyone's got to slow down. All right, I may go ballistic when we come back.
All right.
Yeah. Hello, this is your radio. Radio. Loveline will be right back.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191er. Esty.
Chilodenka? She called you.
No. I'm just reading a name down there.
Oh.
She was my cute girlfriend when I was in the seventh grade.
Well, she wasn't cute yet.
No. I dated her. She was Esther.
Yeah.
Then she became Esty in the ninth grade. It got real popular. And she wouldn't have anything to do with me. Esty?
Yes.
27?
27.
What's up?
Well, I just had a call and say hi to you because you mentioned my name last night.
Yeah, we did.
And again tonight.
I've never knew any other Esty in my life.
Well, it's just Esther that gets changed to Esty, right?
Did you start as Esther?
I started as Esty.
Oh.
Are you Esty from the word go?
Yes, I am.
Does it say that on your birth certificate?
Yes, it says E-S-T-E-E.
Huh. All right.
Named after Estee Lauder.
Ooh. Classy.
I kind of like that.
But shouldn't you be Estee then?
Yeah, but everyone calls me Estee, even my mom. It's just.
I shouldn't
mom,
correct
so.
Them. It's good. All, we're all good. So, we're good with all this.
There we are.
Yeah. All right. There we go.
What's up?
I just had a question. I wanted to get your guys' opinion. I've been married for about almost 12 years now, 11. And if you do the math, I was really young.
Yes. You're still really young.
You're 27.
Uh-huh. And so me and my husband have been through a lot.
Hold on.
She's 27. She's been married for almost 12 years. Wow.
Yeah. Think about where you were at 27.
Oh. Not married for 12 years.
Whew.
All right. Go ahead.
So me and my husband, of course, have been through a lot.
Why?
Well, I mean, we grew up basically together.
You mean like people cheating and messing up and things like that?
Yeah, once in a while. You know, it doesn't happen like all the time, but you know, like you did cheat once. And, you know, it was like just, we're so young, but for some reason we stay together, right?
All right, we got it.
I wanted to know, just basically, while we were together, like after I had our second child, he started using drugs. And he's had a problem with this for, let's say, about 8 years now.
Okay.
On and off. And he finally got himself in trouble for it and is incarcerated at this time. And I just want to know, do you think I'm just a really big sucker for being with him still?
No, or I think you need...
She dropped the F-bomb
yeah,
there.
Yeah, no, she's...
That's the way she's a sucker. I know. But
really big sucker.
Yeah.
Esty, here's the deal. I make these recommendations not casually. These are actually an order. Go to Al-Anon, get a sponsor, and sort your feelings out about this. Or get a therapist. This is not, and by the Al-Anon, it's not like, oh, go get some support and maybe you'll feel better. No, no. You have a very serious decision here. You have kids, I assume.
Yes.
Yeah, you have kids. You have somebody you've loved for a long time who's in trouble with a bad disease.
The good news is the kids are 19 and out of the house.
That's right. And in reality, you're going to Al-Anon and actually working a program may get him into treatment as well. That has actually, in my experience, the highest probability of getting an identified addict into the program.
Well, so, he hasn't done drugs since he blew that guard. I mean, since he got into prison.
Right.
You understand?
I see.
Hey, Esty, how long is he in for?
8 months total. It's been four.
Been four. And what is he in for?
Just violation of his probation. I like
the fact that Esty puts a nice spin on this thing where he'd been doing drugs for about 8 years and it finally caught up to him and now he's in jail. What's he in for? Violation? Probation violation. Finally caught up. But here's the thing. When you're in for the violation of the probation, that's not it finally catching up to you. Right. It catching up to you is whatever you did to get you on probation in the first point.
Yeah, it's you doing drugs.
Right. Was it was his first probation stuff? Was that drugs, too?
Yeah. No, the original reason why he went to jail is for drugs.
And, yeah, what about the first time?
you know, they give them now all these, like, chances, you know, with rehabs and different programs, you know, before they...
What was he on probation for?
He was on probation because of... he was arrested for possession. And then what they do, like, the first time you get arrested for something like that is, like, they send you to, like, rehabilitation classes, like... I think it's called, like, Prop 36 or something.
All right. All right.
You know? And,
all right. What did he do? What's he do for a living? Construction?
No.
Not working.
He works... he's a tow truck driver.
Oh. Oh.
I knew you'd get a good one off of that.
Oh, let me just say this. All right, baby, go to Al-Anon.
Yeah, to Al-Anon. I know you're. I can tell the way you responded to it. You have no intentions. You don't
whatever.
Go. This marriage is over.
Who cares? Just leave us alone. Let me tell you cosmically where tow truck driver lands, just on the cosmic wheel in the sky.
Roofer
sandwich between roofer and publicist on the cosmic S wheel in the sky. Tow truck drivers and tow truck companies are in impound yards and all that stuff, are amongst the worst, most unscrupulous, dicey, horrible people on the planet. They're horrible people. The whole impound tow yard thing is just, we got your car and you want it back? There's a nice glory hole in this piece of plywood underneath this glass I'm standing up here. I'm just going to poke my dork through it and start blowing. That's how it works. I mean, you get your car towed. I told you, you get your car towed on a Thursday night. You go on Friday morning. That's 2 days impound.
Right.
It was towed on the 9th, and now it's the 10th. Yeah, it's been 7 hours.
2 days.
2 days. And then whenever you start arguing, it's like, well, what are you arguing for? The car's back there. You're not getting to it. There's a fence. It's got barbed wire on it. And you're not getting to it until you pass. It's interesting. Oftentimes, I've had stuff towed. I had my license plate ripped off my motorcycle once, and they just towed my motorcycle.
Because there's no license plate?
Yeah, because it got ripped off.
And, I don't understand.
They're supposed to check the numbers on it, whatever. But it doesn't matter. Once it gets towed, that's it. Oh. The guy at the tow yard doesn't care. You got to pay me.
Ugh.
So you can get it back and go take it up to court.
Ugh.
It's the biggest scam in the world. These guys stand around. I like when it rains really hard and they hang out in the intersections that are flooded and yank people out but charge them $50 a pop or whatever.
They what?
Oh, yeah. You never see that? Once in a while, the intersection will get flooded and someone will get stuck in there. Tow truck drivers are the worst amongst... I always forget to include them in my list of just horrible people. And the guys who drive the trucks, these are just your common criminals, essentially. They're not as bad. The impound yard guys who work with the sweeps, with the cops, are just amongst the lowest. They are a rattlesnake's belly in a wagon train groove.
But I always,
you understand?
Where did you go?
Lower than that.
Wagon train groove.
A wagon train cuts a groove in the muddy soil, and they are a snake's belly that is in that groove.
The wheel groove.
So
I live in the satisfaction of knowing that you drove your car off of one of these trucks one time.
I got to tell you, I want this on my headstone.
Uh-huh.
Permanent
record.
I drove my car off a tow truck, and I am telling you, is God is my witness, kiddies. It was not in sort of half toe position or 6 inches off the ground, or it wasn't when the guy was lowering it down or raising it up. It was in full toe position when I drove off of that tow truck. It was the kind I think that had the...
A strap, like?
It was the arms, the two prongs that went under and then lifted up to about 3 feet off the ground.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it was lashed.
Yeah.
The rear tires were lashed down to those two arms.
You went out back and unlashed them?
I argued with this sea sucker. I hope you're listening right now. Drive right into the ocean, you puss. I argued with this sea sucker for a half an hour. I was trying to bribe, you know, I just said, lower the car. I'm standing here. I'll give you $80 and we'll go home. No. It's this crazy nationality. Pissed off, angry, horrible foreign guy. His girlfriend in the cab was just going at it with me. I don't know. I still to this day am not exactly sure what he wanted. I think he probably, it was a nice car. It was a BMW M3 that I leased. he probably thought he was going to get $300 instead of the $100, you know. Because I was saying to the guy, look, instead of following you in someone else's car to the impound yard, following my own car.
Yeah.
Although it would be interesting to see what my car looked like driving backwards at a 45-degree angle.
It was parked in the wrong spot or something?
I was parked in the wrong spot, like a 7-Eleven. I parked under. It didn't park in a slot. I parked under a post or something. Oh. But anyway, this guy, I said, look, instead of paying that $120 and whatever, I'll just give you $90, $100 right now, and we'll just lower it and we'll leave. And he wouldn't do it, but it seemed like he wanted, it was unclear. He wasn't a scrupulous guy. He wanted something, maybe just wanted $300. So, and these guys are so dirt dumb, too. He's like, I have to tow it back because, I can't just come out on a call and return with nothing. And then I said this. You ever get called out on a call, go out to pick up a car, and the car's gone? Oh, yeah, all the time. Oh, okay, this is it. This is that time, except for this time, you got $80. Here's $80. Just come out there, you tell your boss, I came out, the car was gone, I went back. Wouldn't do it. They start driving away, and I just jumped in the car, and I put my foot on the brake, and he would drag the front part of my car, the front, 70% of your braking's in your front brakes of your car, just drag me, and then he'd get out of the car and start yelling at me, and I'd get out and start yelling at him, then he'd run back to his pickup, his tow truck, I'd jump back in my car, I was not going to let him tow me. And it was, 2 in the morning, I had a couple of beers, it was a Friday night, it was after a man show party, I wasn't going to go to get my car impounded, kept dragging me, and at a certain point, Tom Stern, one of my buddies, he's from New York. He's nuts. Man show director guy. Mm. He just yelled. He unlashed one of the tires. Just the one on his side.
Yeah.
And just screamed at me. Undo it. Unlash it. Go. And it was like one of these things where I was just standing at the door of a paratrooper plane with no parachute. And a drill sergeant just yelled, jump. And I just dove. like, huh? What? Boom. He just started screaming, go online. I unlashed it. He unlashed it. The guy was like in the tow truck on the squawker arguing with his girlfriend or something. And I just popped it in the first, started up, and just kaboom. Just drove right off this thing. I dropped 3 feet and heard some bad noises on the way down. Landed. Everybody scattered. All the man show people out there. Everyone started running. And I just hauled ass and peeled out.
There you go.
Yeah.
Good times.
Yeah. F them. Hey, everyone should try. A nice little dent under the car. Just pulled out the spare, put my boot in there, push it down. No trouble. Mm. All right. I was waiting for a few days for cops to show up at my house, though.
Oh, really?
Well, I figure that kind of thing might be a misdemeanor.
Something.
If you're in full tow position, you jump in your car and drive off it. They got to have some kind of law.
Yeah.
Probably a law, right?
Probably.
Okay. Anyway, hey, if you're listening, buddy, kill yourself. Literally a millionaire. Take a quick break.
Literally.
Be right back after this.
Loveline will be right back. So get your problems ready. Ready.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Let's get back to the phone, some Bucky.
Let's do.
Speak to Tiffany, 21. Tiffany.
Bucko.
Go.
Can you guys put me back on hold for just a second, please?
All right.
That's going to be a long wait for old Tiffany.
Let's talk to Nikki over here. Nikki the dude?
Yep.
Oh, boy.
Mickey the dude. How you doing, guys?
Oh, did you say Mickey?
Mickey. Like the mouth.
Oh, that's better.
That's better. What's happening?
Well, Drew, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
I, 30-year-old guy, and for as long as I, can remember, I've always had a foot fetish as far as women are concerned. You know, Adam, like you got guys who watch the Man Show, and, the juggies do it for them. They're all into the boobs. For some reason, for my entire life, it's been women's feet that really arouse me for some reason.
Right.
And what I'm trying to figure out is, well, I guess, Drew, if you could explain to me, like, how does this happen? Why does this happen?
The reality is nobody knows for sure. There's various theories. Yeah. There's various theories about it. And the sort of prevailing wisdom is that when you're developing, it's difficult to handle or manage overwhelming feelings. And something happens in relation to typically mom that makes it very difficult, you know, the closeness or the intrusion or something is sort of quasi-traumatic. And a way of sort of taking away from that trauma is by focusing on something external.
Question. Don't you hate blowhards that announce their question by yelling, question. A blowhardy move to do. James Lipton style. Question. Is that as bad as the guy who asks himself his own questions and then answers them?
I ask myself.
Do I think we need some sort of Middle Eastern policy? Of course. Should we have some show force in that part of the world? Yes.
Did sure. I back off?
Does that mean I think we should firebomb the entire Middle Eastern OPEC? Of course not.
That's Robert, what's his name? The guy from Paramount.
Oh, yeah. He
does that stuff.
Yeah, I'll get to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll tell you that in a second. Mickey.
Yeah.
All right. It's a fetish, and it's a way of sort of managing overwhelming feelings associated with closeness, basically. And as you know, as we know, if you're listening to this show, things that are traumatizing become attraction or sources of attraction in adulthood.
Question.
Yeah,
I don't
have any recollection of anything.
Question.
Traumatic.
Yeah. No. It's
question.
But it's not big T trauma. It's just some question. Sort of little developmental issue. Question. It's not a big deal.
Yes,
it's
question.
Not, it's,
yes, Adam.
Question. If you're at the beach, and you had a choice between seeing women walking around topless but wearing mucklucks, or what do you want?
Burlap
Uggs. Yes, topless but wearing Uggs, or top on but barefoot. What would you go for?
Probably the second choice, the top on.
Oh,
barefoot.
You couldn't hang with him, Adam.
Wow.
Yeah.
What we talk about.
I don't know.
All right, But so let me ask you. Let me ask you this, Robert Evans. By the way,
go ahead. Yeah.
Let me ask you this,
Bob Evans. Yeah.
If you're punching Mike, if you then go to the beach where every woman is barefoot,
yeah,
that's like us going to the beach where everyone's topless.
Pretty much.
Ooh. That's got to be nice.
It's got to be nice.
I tell you what, Adam, it works to my advantage a lot, man. Especially in the summer, everybody's walking around in flip-flops and, you know, strappy sandals and high heels, and it's great. And
it's just so interesting. I mean, isn't it interesting just what the human brain does to create attraction? You know, it just you know, it goes nice. Where it goes, and in your case, it goes to feed. And,
well, and what's unfortunate, though, Drew, is it's the way that it seems like people who have this fetish or any other seem to be kind of marginalized generally. I mean, it seems pretty harmless to me, and
it is harmless.
With a girl, it's never been an issue. In fact, some of them have really found it.
Well, right, it's not so much as an issue that you have this weird preoccupation.
Ooh, look at you judging. Cannot judge.
But it's that
question.
In general,
can you judge?
Fetishes.
Answer no.
Fetishes take away from intimacy. In general, this is one that I don't think really does too much to anything.
But let me say this, Drew.
It's just, as long as it doesn't take over.
Statement. Statement. How come no one says statement?
Huzzah.
Question.
Huzzah.
Statement.
Hi.
Statement.
Hi.
Statement.
Hi.
Hey. When people, I think as human beings, we have this thing. It's unfair, or we'd like to think it's unfair, but it's built into us. When we see somebody who has a sickness, it frightens us.
Yes.
It sort of makes us want to get away from them
a little
bit.
Right.
When we see somebody whose behavior is different than that of our own or the mainstream,
yes,
we label them. There's a part of us that sees things, whether it's a hair lip or a guy who's into feet, and kind of goes, I don't know about this guy.
Yeah.
It frightens us a little bit.
Yes. Yeah.
Maybe we shouldn't abandon that completely. Maybe we are right to take the Mickeys of the world and put them, categorize them a little. Like, think to myself, you know what? All right, I'm sure Mickey's fine, but I'm not sure if he's going to be the one I want watching my kids.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Don't make it quite so, you
statement.
Know, huzzah. Hey, I mean.
Well, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you don't want him. You may not want to spend a month with him in a cabin or something. You know what I mean?
Well, what if you were looking for a babysitter and it's like the one guy, he was a foot guy. He liked feet.
That wouldn't dissuade me.
Little bit.
No, it wouldn't. No.
You would look at
a lot of other stuff would, but not that.
The foot
one I find very just. Mm.
I know, but you think here's a guy who has
something,
some energy.
Something, yep.
Whereas the guy that was just, I like an attractive woman in nice eyes.
Yeah.
You'd hire him to watch your kids over the foot guy.
Yeah.
Because it's different. There's worse than the foot guy.
Yeah.
But foot guy and normal guy, you go normal guy.
Yeah.
I'm not giving you a choice between foot guy and, you know, a stump porn guy. Right. I'm just giving you foot guy and regular guy. Okay. Yes.
But my point is...
Mickey, question.
Hi.
Question.
Hi.
So when you're with a woman, then, do you do things to her feet?
Yep.
What do you do?
Oh, you really don't have any. You can imagine.
Really? A little toe jamming, huh?
So to speak.
Yeah. Here's the thing about women, too. You know what I like? There's unattractive, there's beautiful women that think they have ugly feet and are weird about their feet. There's many women I know are weird about their feet.
Yeah.
There's many a woman who's announced they have unattractive feet, and I've never heard a guy announce he has unattractive feet.
No.
And you don't hear women say, I have an unattractive nose. They may think it.
Mm. They won't announce it.
Interesting. You know what? Women do the, I have ugly feet. Because they know the three guys that are standing there staring at their boobs or look down and then look back at their boobs and go, oh, who cares, sweetie? It's fine. I mean, I never know.
They get reassured, yeah.
But if a chick says, I have an ugly nose, a guy might go, yeah, it's kind of big. you know what I mean?
But he won't be able to say with the same energy and enthusiasm. Oh,
if you do, in fact, have a big schnoz, he might like think to himself, it could use a little work. But the feet are always like, look, those are stands to hold up the boobs. How many times do we got to tell you?
As we know, though, Mickey's feeling, marginalized and stuff. People don't care.
No.
Bottom line, people really don't care.
Okay.
So the fact that he feels marginalized bothers me more than anything.
Statement.
Hi.
We got to go to commercial.
Hi.
Statement.
Hi.
Break. Statement. Everybody, I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. I want to thank Adam Markey for coming and sending us some nuts. Oh my God, jumbo sack of pistachios and blue diamond almonds. I am telling you, I've probably moved more just personally, but I probably logged about 70 hours of talking about smoked almonds on the radio.
Yeah.
Blue Diamond folks ought to send me out a hat, maybe a windbreaker.
Something, boy.
Yeah. Yeah. The guys over at Sunny Delight, however, should send over a hit squad and put me into the ground. But the Blue Diamond almond guys, yeah. Look at that. Pistachios.
Hey, in addition to sending pistachio and smoked almonds, he has given us a list of top 10 Loveline moments, top 20 Loveline moments.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to go through some of those?
Well, take a look at them.
They're
and
good.
Review them and tell me.
Here's
what
one
you
I don't
think.
Really remember. The situation and story with Peter Pan Pan. Oh, Pan Pan.
Pan Pan.
Oh.
Guy I bought the cleavers from.
Oh.
The guy that Drew didn't even know whose wife gave him my cell phone number and called me on a Sunday morning trying to sell me knives. Yeah, that was a lovely debacle.
Here's one. What's your dad doing in Israel?
Yeah.
Anderson. Bring that one
in. Has that one. Give him a minute. Where's your dad?
My dad's in Israel.
Sarah, what's your dad doing in Israel?
What's my dad doing in Israel? What's my dad doing in Israel?
Play that again, the first part.
My dad's in Israel.
I thought she said Israel, too, and then I remember in the context of the discussion, I thought, I must not have heard that right.
Where's your dad?
My dad's in Israel.
Here's the deal. Here's how your mind works, and it's a really interesting thing.
You fill it in.
If you say, and Anderson will play it again, and don't do it yet, but let's just do a little interesting experiment. If I say, where's your dad? And she says, my dad's in his room. And if you say his room when she says that word, that his room, it will sound exactly like his room.
Right.
But if you say Israel, it will sound in your mind.
In the room.
In your mind. It will sound exactly like my dad's in Israel.
Yeah.
So let's just do it. Let's play it, Anderson. The first time, everyone just say in your mind, his room, when she says my dad's in his room. Want to dress up your sex life?
What the hell was that?
I pushed the wrong button.
Where's your dad?
My dad's in his room.
Yeah. If you say his room, you say his room, when she says it, it's fine. Now, scrub your mind, shake it like an Etch-a-Sketch, and everyone say Israel when she says it.
My dad's in his room.
Yeah, if you say Israel when it does it, it'll work.
Yeah.
All right. Want to dress up your sex life? Statement.
What is that?
Question. Question. Do you want to dress up your sex life?
Hi.
Hi. Still a virgin?
Let's take
what are line some of the moments?
Line two.
Yeah.
Oh, you want to hear some more?
Let's see if Anderson has some of them.
Pan. Is David Arquette showing up after Adam said he was too certifiable? Nuts. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think we have that one.
Loveline phone sex operator saying she was lying in her bed thinking about the Holocaust.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Bring.
There it is.
Bring.
Hi, how you doing?
Ooh, hi, what's your name?
I'm Sugar.
Sugar, I'm Ace.
Hey, Ace.
Yeah, what are you wearing?
Well, I'm wearing a nice black garter. Just thinking about the Holocaust right now.
Gotta get the setup for that.
Yeah, we were, let's see, she was a phone sex operator who said her clients would get off too fast.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, the problem with you phone sex operators is you're always named Tatiana, you're 6'2", you're Swedish,
right.
you have a D cup, you have a 34 triple D, you're 118 pounds, you have blue eyes, and the guy's like, what I was telling her is if you guys made yourself just a little bit flawed, it would keep things going.
Try some subliminal messages.
Yeah, like if you said, well, first message was, and this is just an overall message, like the phone sex operators, like, let's be honest. You're not classic beauties, otherwise you'd be on the runway. You're not talking, not doing phone sex for a living. You know, say, look, I got to be honest with you. I had a couple of zits in high school, and my ass could be a little smaller, but nice set on me, and I know how to please a man orally. That would probably be enough to keep most of the guys who called going.
Give a nice build.
Yeah. So I said to her, look, what you need to do is start working in subliminal messages in order to keep the guy from busting a nut. So you just do this thing where you're like, well, I am 5'10", I'm Swedish, Vietnam, I got beautiful, beautiful boobs and a tight-ass cancer. Now, she didn't understand the concept of subliminal messages.
And we just had...
So I explained to her, well, work in the Holocaust, but do it subliminally. Yeah. And she really couldn't do it.
Well, she had a sort of a blank. There was a silence.
First, she didn't do it. And then I wondered if she did actually do it, and she was so good at it that we just didn't know it. Then she didn't know what the Holocaust
was. That was the big thing. Is there was a sort of blank stare across the radio, and it was like, do you know what the Holocaust is?
No. I'm telling you, I would like to have a clash of the Tardans. Beauticians versus phone sex operators.
Ooh, good clash.
Estheticians versus phone sex operators. Who knows less in this clash of the vacuous?
Here now is one other moment that was one of my favorites. Aliens coming down and having to pick between. You said we were talking about oral sex, and this girl was complaining about it. And you said, now, wait a minute. Who really has it worse? If you were an alien, you came down and you saw the two different.
The male phallus.
The obligations. You know, one is taking on a churro, and the other is burying your face in an abalone.
Yeah. Well, think about it, ladies. You're complaining. Who
do you ever know what an abalone looks like? I wonder. It's a plesiopod. It's like a big plesiopod. It's a big mollusk.
More people know what an abalone is than a plesiopod. I am just saying, if you took a huge, it's what we used to make ashtrays out of in the 70s.
Right.
If you took a big abalone and broke it in half and said, bury your face in that, versus put your mouth over the stick, you know what I mean?
Who's got it worse?
Who's got it worse?
And abalone really, I mean...
It covers it.
Abalone covers it. When you pull that thing off the rock and that sort of folds in...
Yeah. It's, thank you, Drew.
You also said finger or open wound.
Oh.
that's a good one.
But unfortunately, that is truly disgusting.
That is disgusting.
I mean, abalone. I might like abalone.
Well, I'm just... But the point I'm trying to make is you broads complain all the time about performing oral on a guy. What about us on you?
Yeah, that's right.
You know what I'm saying?
Abalones. Just think abalone.
All right, Drew. Let's take some calls. You can go through that later. Again, though, I want to thank Adam for sending in these.
Should we eat some of these pistachios?
$4 worth of nuts. No, don't. And then that's the other thing, too. Nuts are not cheap. And we have 60 pounds of pistachios, by the way.
That's the not cheapest.
Yeah. Somebody decided or somebody realized in 1978 that they no longer had to spray paint pistachio shells pink in order to sell pistachio nuts. Right. And it makes sense. Like, what other food do you have to spray paint pink in order to sell it? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, somebody just went, look, we're spending millions of dollars a year on red dye number 14, spraying these things and the Snowball, equipment man. And all. Let's just give it up. Yeah. Let's just go ahead and sell them as nature
made. They're
fine,
yeah.
People accept almonds.
Now I got to eat them.
Yeah. Lindsay?
Yeah.
29?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Remember when they used to paint those pistachios pink?
Hell, yes. I remember when they were pink, and I loved them.
It would get all over your fingers, though, and all over them. Oh, what? Yeah. What is that?
Tongue would be all pink. I have no idea. And I have all no right. idea why they stopped doing it, but you can't find them anywhere.
I'll tell you, I would like to be the home of the pink pistachio shell. I would start a company, and it's like, we're old school, baby. This gives you cancer, and it costs $8 more a sack, but we're painting them pink, baby. It's going to be just like
you
your childhood.
What? You good doing it, you know?
Yeah.
All
right.
That,
what?
That coral color.
What's up, baby doll?
Well, you know, guys, I'm 29.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a pretty good looking lady. I have my mm-hmm. own business. I'm super successful. I have lots of friends, and I cannot have a sexual relationship if for the life of me.
Are you a virgin?
Yeah. I would
Uh-oh.
Consider myself a virgin.
Did something happen to you?
Question: Were you molested?
Yeah.
Question.
Yeah.
Molested? Oh, yes?
Yeah. Done the dad work. Been there. I've been in therapy for years.
All right, but you can see. Like, you can see how you'd be aversive to closeness, though, particularly physical closeness, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, but I feel like I've done all this work. I was listening to you guys tonight, and I was like, hell yes, I'm calling boys. I'm going to find out, like, what their two cents is on this. Because I'm totally at a loss.
Have you had a boyfriend? Or are you into men or girls?
I'm into men.
Have you had a boyfriend, a relationship?
Well, sure. I can date up a storm. I have tons of guy friends, but it's getting into the physical intimacy and getting men near me. Like, I
question,
can't. I
question, question.
Yes, Adam. I'm
question.
Yes, Adam.
Hold on.
Hi.
You know, Drew, Lindsay has that thing where A, she can't talk like I'm talking right now, but B, some people get molested and they get angry and they turn in on themselves and it takes them. When you get molested, you either get the three Mississippi or you can't finish your sentence syndrome.
Because you're so sped up.
Yes, Drew, I know you don't like to be put on the spot because you've only been speaking extemporaneously on the radio for 26 years. But ask me a yes or no question. I'll give you an example of both of them.
Were you molested when you were a child?
Depends what you mean by molested.
Is your dad still around?
No,
the other one. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Is your dad still around?
Yes, he is.
Right.
See, either they clip your last three syllables, right, or you have a three Mississippi before one syllable comes out of their
right.
mouth.
You're right. Well, one
I like this one better, by the way. These are the ones who pay their taxes.
Those are the codependents.
And they're successful.
Yeah.
As
yeah.
she said. Oh, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, yeah. But well, they're a little manicky and they're codependent.
They got a rap going.
Yep.
So let's try to slow her down to 33 speed. Lindsay?
Yes.
Thank you.
Paying attention.
Okay.
All right,
okay.
Now.
Who molested you? Question. Who molested you?
A family member.
A family member.
Brother?
Dad.
Dad, all right.
Dad.
That's pretty heavy.
How long did this go on for?
Pretty much my whole life.
Oof.
Up until I was about 24, 25. Mm-hmm.
Did you say you were an addict also?
Yeah.
So you're in treatment, recovery, and
hold on, Drew. We missed one. 24, 25?
Yeah, I was going to say you've only been away from your primary relationship for 4 years. I mean,
yeah.
You know.
Now, Lindsay, these are tough questions, but were you having intercourse with your dad when you were 23?
No.
What was he doing?
It was super subtle. Just sexualizing me in every way, shape, and form.
Did he ever more overtly sexualize you?
Yeah, there was a lot of groping, but it wasn't the type of groping that you could, you know, nail down and be like, hey, look at how disgusting that is. It was,
right.
You know, giving a hug and the wandering hands.
All right.
Oh, but wait a minute, Drew.
There is a lot of covert sexual abuse out there.
I know, but now you're 23 years old, or 20. You are 23 years old, and you're like going back to the house for Thanksgiving, and he gives you a hug, and
you recoil.
Feel like he grabs your ass, or how does it work?
Yeah, exactly.
He does grab your ass?
Yeah.
Well, what is the worst he did to you?
You know, that's the worst physical that happened. The rest was all. It was just...
Hold on. Wait a minute. But I mean, if
she's being exposed to pornography and stuff at a young age.
Okay, but first off, don't say your dad molested you until you're 24 and then explain, well, he would hug me and the way his hands were on my hips were inappropriate. Yeah. That was the worst he did.
Mm-hmm.
This, by the way, makes a mockery of those. This is a statement.
Hi.
This is a slap in the face to those who are actually, you know, brutally sexually abused by family members. Not that this wasn't something, but this certainly felt like something. Yeah. But I'm sure your dad's a weirdo, but this is not the kind of stuff that gets anyone put behind bars or anything.
No.
It's strange. I mean, I'm sure he did a bunch of verbal damage and stuff and emotional abuse, but I don't know if I would look at myself as sexually abused. By this guy. Well, I can't be the first person to say that, can I?
Yeah. You can.
Well, I mean, unless there's something...
I'm telling you in 30 seconds on the radio, but...
There are other stories.
Well, I'm sure he's a bad guy, but physically, sexually, the hugs with the groping, that's as bad as it got? Did you say yes?
I couldn't hear.
Yeah.
Did he expose you to pornography or other?
Oh, yeah.
So at a young age, a lot of pornography around, that kind of thing?
Yeah, in my bedroom, yeah.
Yeah, okay, that tends to be
why, bad. Why in your bedroom?
I have no idea.
Well, I mean, I would stash it there. You know, it's like putting the drugs in the kid's diaper bag, you know what I mean?
I understand. That can be very traumatizing to a young girl.
Okay, really what did he do? Tow truck driver?
Roofer?
What did he
roofer?
Do? Publicist? Oh, he's a businessman.
Okay. And is he still together with your mom?
No, he remarried when I was young. So, they've still been married for forever.
Would he, if we spoke to him, would he have any idea of any of these feelings or these things?
No, I have brought them all to his attention, but it's nothing that he can
process or understand.
Do you have any other brothers or sisters?
Mm-hmm.
Hang on a sec. We got to get her back to her question. I got to talk to her. Are guys coming on to you physically? Do they want to have sex with you?
No. And if they do, they're my dad's age.
Question.
Hey.
Yes.
Question.
Hey.
Wait. Question. Wait. How much do you weigh?
How much do I weigh?
Question. Wait.
I weigh 148.
Statement. 165.
No.
All right, 140.
Tall blonde.
All right, Lindsay.
And guys, don't come on to you. You don't read it.
Okay, and you're a virgin. Why are you a virgin?
Because I'm terrified to get into a relationship, or I have been. And
why?
I'm not interested in being alone anymore.
Why are you terrified of a relationship? What is it that scares you about it?
I think it's the losing myself in a relationship, being scared to be myself.
All right, here's the deal.
Therapy, baby.
Yeah, she's had a lot of therapy.
Well, get some more.
Here's what I think. That you're way up in your head with all this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Be very careful of guys you're very attracted to, because your dad is undoubtedly an a-hole, and he's been abandoning, and he's had these sort of traumatizing influences on you. So you're going to be attracted to that kind of guy. So be careful of what you're attracted to. Go for guys that are nice and available. Spend some time with them, and then jump in. You're 29. You're a big girl. It's okay. And if it's a good guy, prepare him that this is a tough thing for you. And if it's a guy that really cares about you, it's hard to understand why guys would not be coming on to you and looking to have sex with you. Right? I mean, if she says she is.
Well, some people put off a force field around their vagina that couldn't be...
Yeah.
Could not be breached with Sidewinder missiles.
Right, but go out and
I've run into a few of those.
But but hey, go with a guy that's, you know,
okay,
a little
but
interesting, but not.
But Lindsay,
not
I'm going to take a marginally different tack than Drew here, which is your dad did not molest you. Stop saying you're a victim of molestation. He was a bad dad. My sister had a bad dad too.
But you know, I've seen some.
Not me. All right, you put some porn in your room.
I've seen some sex addicts and porn stars and stuff who had that kind of history. Lindsay's got, so it can have a bad outcome.
I'm just saying, you walking around telling people you were molested by your dad or thinking that makes you victims. Yeah. Not the way to go. I think the biggest thing your dad probably did is he left, started another family, abandoned you, and broke your heart, and that's why you can't hook up with another guy.
That's also why you blame him for.
You've then turned him into a criminal. Yeah. His only crime was not loving you enough and going and starting another family.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, here's the thing. Dig
by
on
the way,
this.
It wasn't that he didn't love her enough. It just didn't love this mom enough.
Well, that's the way she perceived it. But Drew, pick up on this. Would you dig on this statement? Okay. When there's a daughter and daddy has an ass full of mom and can't hang with mom and starts dating a secretary and he gets the younger wife or the whatever wife and the next thing you know, he's moves across town and he's living with that woman. And, of course, that woman doesn't like him going around, doesn't have a real vested interest in his kids or his whatever from his previous whatever. Right. They're just vestiges of that bitch that they don't like who got to keep the house and is trying to screw the guy over in the divorce or whatever. So they start the new family, and they essentially, because they're under the thumb of the new chick, don't spend so much time, and it makes them bad guys, but don't spend as much time. They essentially abandon their daughter. The sons end up going to school and fighting.
Yes.
And you know, getting drunk. The chicks, it is devastating to them.
It is
devastating to the woman, and the women have to then... I think it feels like dad tried to kill them.
I don't hear those kinds of complaints.
But I don't hear that specific complaint, but what I'm saying is it feels
that kind
egregious.
Of trauma. That kind
I mean,
of trauma.
It is
it was
traumatizing.
It's powerlessness, yes.
Right, and so I think sometimes...
It's annihilating.
I think in Lindsay's...
Yeah,
it's annihilating.
You're right.
I think in Lindsay's case, she's trying to make her dad as bad a guy as she feels
he is. Yeah,
he
yeah.
is.
Yeah.
When he reality is he probably left.
Yeah, yeah. I'm with you.
All right.
All right.
Okay.
Hey, wait. Before we go to break.
Whew. Statement heavy.
Hi.
Statement
Hi.
Heavy.
Hi.
Statement heavy.
Pull Scott up here. Before I eat these pistachios, I need to know something. Scott, 41.
Yeah, how you doing?
Good.
What's happening?
All right. Big fan of the show. I just want to let you guys know that the reason they dye them red is because they originally came from the Middle East, specifically Iran, and that's a very caste-conscious area. And what they would do is they would dye them red because that's the color of royalty. And that means you were having the best pistachios you could have.
Ah.
So the red ones were the red ones meant they were the best pistachios, but then they all start dyeing them red.
Right.
Right. But the thing is, it's supposed to be like it's a food of royalty, that kind
of thing. Do they dye other food red? Did they used to dye other food red in Iran?
Probably not, because they're probably not a big agrarian society. It's more of just because those trees and olive trees and stuff like that grow naturally. It's probably more one of those things. And since they grow them all here now, no one's going to bother dyeing them red.
They did for a long time, though.
Yeah, but, you know, it's a huge pain in the butt. Who needs that, right?
I'm with you. Thanks, Scott.
Hi.
Yeah. Yeah, I was just thinking of the Middle East, you know, Exxon and whoever turned their biggest profits, quarterly profits ever. I was just hearing on the news.
Really?
Yeah. And big scandal. Just a little news. Joe, don't put that in your mouth. But, you know, big scandal with the embargo in Iran.
Oh, yes.
You know,
Little kickbacks.
mostly Soviet Union and France.
It's shocking.
Top of the list.
Shocking.
Top of the list of people that were kicking. I think Saddam got $2 billion himself from those companies. Yeah. See? That's the whole thing, everyone. People don't just do the right thing. You have to watch them, and then if they don't do it, you have to come down on them. I don't know why.
All the people that participated with Saddam should be punished, too.
Yeah.
This is the
UN oil embargo.
For God's sakes, the people that didn't resist Hitler were considered criminal.
Yeah, and you know, there's this thing that the left always does with this country. It's like, hey, man, who made us the watchdog? We became the watchdog because we're surrounded by F-ups. That's why. If North Korea would just go about their business, it'd be fine. If the Soviet Union was a wonderful wonderland of democracy where people were freed and not oppressed, if Cuba wasn't, if all these places weren't goddamn disasters, we wouldn't be the world's watchdog. If you didn't hijack a few airplanes and fly them into a few financial centers, we'd leave you alone. It's like saying to the warden, it's like, who made you warden of the prison? I got a bunch of people that committed murder. We got to round them up. We got to pull them off. We got to put them over. Well, what makes you what makes us? We're sane and we're decent. That's what makes us the watchdog.
Hi.
Well, that's why we're the watchdog.
Huzzah.
Yeah, because they're trying to perpetrate genocide in Rwanda, and someone's got to stop it. That's why we're the watchdog. France isn't doing anything. What made us the watchdog? We're decent. We have money. That's what makes us the watchdog. You have money.
Responsibility.
You have a little heart. Yeah.
Hi.
Yeah.
Hey.
Would you get sucked? You get sucked into World War One. You get sucked into these wars. Yeah. Yeah. We understand there's a bad side and a good side. We'll go support the good side. See if we can win it for him. Yeah.
Hey.
I mean, making it a little too simple, but you know what I'm saying.
Hey.
Okay. Take a quick break. Be right back after this.
I feel so liquidy.
Really? Why?
You're listening to Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. Loveline will be right back.
Yeah. Hell yeah. F yeah. Statement. We're setting them clocks back. Drew, put these nuts away. Sunday. Excited. So sad.
I know we get one extra hour.
We talk about it every year, though. But every year we come in here when we set the clock forward, we come in here like rape victims. Just come in here just dejected. Yeah. Like, oh my God, can't get clean. Drew, just the 1,000-yard stare. Woke up at 8 this morning. It was 9.
Lost an hour.
You know what time it is now? 11:30. 10:30. It's really 10:30. But now the worm has turned.
We're going back.
Turnabout. Fair play. That's what I say to the clock. In your face, clock with a face. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
In your literal face, clock. We're going back, baby. It's going to be awesome.
Let's try Tiffany again. She told us to wait. We gave her an hour and 10 minutes. Okay.
Oh.
She told us to come back to her. Well, we're coming back.
I had a funny thing. I have one of these clocks. It's like hooked up to the satellite. It tells you exactly what time it is.
Those atomic clocks.
The seconds and everything. Yeah. But the problem is this thing is on like mountain time.
Yeah.
So it's always an hour behind. And then when it switches again.
Yeah.
And I go and set it forward, and it sets it.
It sets itself
back again.
There's an adjustment you can make on it.
Well, there's a funny thing, though. It's like one of these, like, I had the world's worst assistant, Scott, and I now work with him. And he was such a bad assistant, I figured I'd get him a job working on my TV show so he wouldn't have to be my assistant anymore. But I said to him, this was a year ago, you know, I said to him, like, oh, Scott, you know, that clock you bought a year ago, it drives me nuts because every time I set it, it jumps back an hour. And he's like, oh, yeah, they told me they had a setting you could get it set from the whatever on it. And I was like, oh. So your legacy lives on.
There you go.
Yeah. I can do the math, you know, don't get me wrong. I can make it 9:30 in my mind's eye, even when the clock says 8:30. But it's the idea that I pull it off an adjustment, put it back on the wall, step back from it, and watch it pop over an hour. That's the good part. See, man? That's what Orwell was talking about, dude.
It's Tiffany.
Tiffany?
Hello.
Hey,
21.
Earlier, you guys.
What were you doing?
It's all right.
I'm at work, so not the best time to call, but, you know.
What are you doing?
I have to help people. I work at a check cashing place, so, you know, they come in, they want to cash their check. It's Thursday
night. That's a weird, I always see the signs for those places, you know.
Yeah.
There's a lot of
cash now.
All right, let me now, hold on. Here's the thing. First off, that is one of those Manson has better karma than the guy who started that
place.
Do they?
What do they do? Take half the money to give them cash advance?
Poor Mexicans come in there with their checks and they take 15% and give them.
Why?
Because they don't have ID, because they don't have bank accounts, because they don't have two forms of ID, because they're living off the grid and under the radar. These places come in.
By the way, I had a problem with Bank America that I wouldn't cash a check. Cashier's check.
Wow.
That I signed because it was made out to David Drew Pinsky.
Drew came in there with spats and tails and
a top hat.
I came
in with multiple IDs, a license to practice medicine, with David Drew Pinsky with my signature on the back.
But Drew, this is about the poor Mexicans. This isn't about you. You're literally a friend of a millionaire. You're fine. You're white. You'll get by. These are the poor Latinos.
Yes,
they open these places up. They come in there. You know, they get their check for $300 and they walk with $285.
Yeah.
And then they swing over to the Pony Express place and spend another $12 sending the stuff back to Guadalajara.
Pony Express.
Whatever
Western
they use.
Union?
Whatever they use. I don't think they use big name places like Western. I think they use the actual pony and drag it into Tijuana.
There we go.
Big sacks, banditos stopping them along the border.
Okay.
The point is this is preying on people. Now, here's the deal. The reason you, Drew, and no one you know has ever gone into one of these check cashing places is because you know professional people that have accounts and credit cards and insurance and make a living. This is the lowest of the low.
Okay, right.
And we have our we've always talked about how it costs more money to be poor.
Here's a good example of that.
This is perfect. Tiffany.
Yes.
Who do you have coming through there?
She's in Arizona.
We have a whole lot of Mexicans. It's just a bunch of people who have bank accounts, but they just want their check cash now.
Well, then why do you have that big banner that says "Welcome Mexicans" out front? That's what I want to know.
So we can raise the price, I guess. I don't know.
So you have a lot of people that lost their bank accounts?
No, they have bank accounts. Their bank's just not open, so they want their check cash now. I guess there's no patience, customers.
And they're willing to pay 10% or whatever it is.
Yes, they are. But we give them free candy, so I think it's a fair exchange.
Is it 10%?
No, actually it's not.
It's 20.
It's only 10% for personal checks.
All right, and for payroll checks, it's what?
It's 3%.
Hmm. But still.
Listen, you pay $2 at an ATM for a $200 withdrawal. It's 1%.
Yeah, now you pay for $200 withdrawal. Michelle pays $2 for $20 withdrawal.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what I'm saying.
It's 1% at the best.
No. And, you know, not a bunch of lowlifes coming in there.
Well, you know, I'm sure it's everywhere.
Okay.
All right. What's your question?
Very casual.
There we go.
Okay.
Go ahead.
My question is, I've had my hood pierced since I was about 16. And recently I've started taking it out more because it kind of gets in the way.
In the way of what?
When, you know, you're trying to do things with other people that are dirty.
Right.
Yeah, you don't want it to be in the way. So I started taking it out more.
Why'd you get it put in? Was it for those dirty activities?
I was curious. This might sound stupid, but I didn't really know where the clitoris was. So my original intention was to get the clitoris pierced, but they said it would lose.
So you could mark it. So like, say, here it is.
Yeah.
By the way, one of the least objectionable reasons to have that I've heard in a long time.
It's like when you're looking at that.
Especially when you're dealing with guys.
Yeah, looking at that big map when you're at the mall. Have that X.
You are here.
That's right.
But they're for the dudes. I mean, they're clueless on this stuff. What's that?
To help you guys out a little bit. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, the men are just clueless. That's interesting.
But a stud isn't going to do it for me. I need a bell. Cowbell.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I couldn't find it even just a little hoop or stud or something. I need a full-blown cowbell. By the way, how pissed are cows about that cowbell? Here's a huge bell to wear around your neck. Really? I am going to kill myself. Okay.
That's all right.
We're
going to
kill you in a few years and eat you anyway. Some put a huge bell.
Well, you've seen the ones in Switzerland, too. They're huge.
No, I've not, Drew. But I have seen pictures of the ones from North Hollywood. Tiffany?
Yes?
So what's the question now?
Okay. I've been leaving it out for longer periods of time now because I'm not as afraid that it's going to close. And every time that I urinate, it seems like it's harder for me to. I was just wondering if it's even possible that the hole might be closing.
Hard for you to what?
To urinate? Yes.
But that's coming from a whole different area.
Are you sure? Because that's what I believe the piercing is through.
No, no.
Urethra.
No, 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 no,
I'm like
no,
way
no,
off?
No. Way off.
Oh, good.
Statement. You're
hi.
Dumb.
Hi.
Oh,
wow.
Thank you.
You're miles off.
Tiffany.
Yes?
I'm not even going to go junior college for you.
No, actually, a university, thank you.
Really?
Yep.
If the dean is listening, sir, you need to take your own life.
Seriously,
it
I'm
is
not
the only
dumb,
right.
But I'm telling you, the piercing, it's right there.
Well, let me explain the part right, where people proclaim they're not dumb. That is not for them to decide or announce. That is for us, the consumer, to decide, and we've already passed judgment.
Hi. So here's the urethra down here.
Inside the vagina.
Yeah. Beneath the labia.
Yes.
And there's the clitoris up here, and the hood is on top of that.
It's a full city block away from
the
urethra.
Well, it's in a different part of the anatomy entirely.
Different. It's in the same time zone my goddamn clock is.
Right.
It's mountain time. This is standard.
Yes.
Wow.
Urethral orifice right
down there. Tiffany works at a check cashing place and doesn't know
what she pees out of.
I'm looking at it right now, and I swear the piercing goes right where it is that the pee comes out of. So, you know.
Well, you might. It's just above that. It's outside your vagina. You don't have the piercing inside the lips.
The pee comes off of it. It's like when you get an oil leak in your car in the front of the oil pan. It follows it and drips off the transmission, and you think it's coming out of the transmission.
Right,
it's really.
The urethral orifice is inside the vagina.
Okay. So I don't have to worry that it's closing then. Everything's
Let it close.
Well, thank you.
Let it close.
You still going?
Great.
It's
Christmas time.
Are you still going to the university?
Yes, I am.
Said University of Arizona?
No.
Okay.
All right. You have a boyfriend?
No.
Okay. How does the check cashing place pay? Just gives you hourly rate?
I'm not going to tell you that. You'll mock it. It's probably like 300 times less than what you guys make.
I would kill myself if that was true. I really would.
Okay. Well, thank you.
$6.50 an hour?
No. It's like
more? Oh, okay. All right. Not bad. All right. We'll take ourselves
a little
break.
About 300 times less than what you make.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Has POS told him it was linked to obesity?
Polycystic ovaries. We'll talk about that.
I just want to say hi to Julie. Julie?
Yes.
How much you weigh?
I'm about 200 pounds right now.
All right. Were you more before?
Well, I was actually really skinny up until about, I think, maybe 2 years ago.
Drew, please.
You had a what?
I had a daughter, and I gained a little bit over 100 pounds with the pregnancy.
Ooh. Yeah. Okay.
So I've lost about 60 pounds so far. Still need to lose a little bit more, but
does it make you sick when you turn on like Entertainment Tonight? It's like sexy Denise Richards 6 weeks after giving birth to Charlie Sheen's second child on the beach for a sizzling photo shoot.
Well,
how did she do it?
The difference between me and celebrities is the fact that they have all day long to work out. And they
I know.
Have nothing else to do. And they, have
and they always do that stupid thing. It's like, how did she do it? Well, a cardio, weightlifting. Oh, you didn't just dive into a vat of pudding. Oh, what?
The reality is she probably could because her genes are so damn good.
Yeah. Close your eyes. Picture Denise Richards. That's what she looks like.
Yeah.
And she craps out a kid, and she's 26, and she snaps back to what she looks like because you pretty much just get back to where you were. You have those genes. Yeah, you work out a little bit, but they always do that. They must torture the other women who can't get rid of that little flab around the gut or the wide ass or whatever. They're just like, how did she do it? And it's a... Of course, it's so
convenient. A lot of plastic surgery, too.
It's so convenient. Yeah, with a lot of those. It's so convenient, though, where it's like, oh, man, I work my tail off. And then the guy who's sitting at home looking at his wife that's been carrying around the extra 35 pounds for the year and a half looks at her and goes, why aren't you working? Jeans ain't working. That's what ain't working. She's got the smoking, piping hot jeans. That's the way she's cut.
The cut of her jib.
You could tell because she was piping hot before the kids. That's how. Is it always such a surprise, too? Like, hey, Drew, close your eyes. Picture the young, hot Hollywood female celebrity who craps out a kid in her early 20s, balloons up to 300 pounds, they never see her again. Is that the norm? Why is it shocking news?
a short 6 weeks after giving birth. And how did she do it? Oh, she's working.
What happened to Phoebe Cates?
She's got a trainer.
Phoebe Cates. What did happen to her?
Phoebe Cates remained smoking hot. She just got pulled out of the game. She got benched.
Is she all right?
Kevin Kline benched her. A rare benching. Combination of smoking hot and didn't mind showing the boobies. Pulled out. Cut down in her prime. It's a rare combination. It's like this guy runs a 4.440 and has a 4.3 GPA.
Ooh, that's unheard
student
of.
Student athlete. Unheard of. Cut down. Horrific knee injury junior year. So never laced cleats on again.
She's a stay-at-home mom now or something?
She was showing boobs and Fast Times at Ridgemont High. She had this another movie called Private School. She was all hot and cute and everything. I think she's got married to Kevin Kline. She's like, you know, young, and they're like, we're having kids. We're sane. That'll be enough. Yeah. I'll make all the money. They're cool.
Yeah.
Sounds incredibly sane to me.
Yeah, yeah.
I made another movie or two, but no, not interested. Gremlins. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know why she didn't like Christmas, Drew, in Gremlins?
Uh-huh.
Dad got stuck in the fireplace.
Oh, that's right.
Noticed a smell coming from it about a week later.
Yes.
Cut it out. It was Dad in there.
Of course.
That's why.
Yeah. Dad was just barely able to get down that 6-inch flu.
When I was a kid, I saw that in the theater, and one guy laughed out very loud, and I was disturbed, very disturbed.
I think that may have been me. For those of you, we got to take a break, but for those of you who have not seen the movie Gremlins, see it just to watch the scene. It's a fantasy romp until the brakes go on the train with the sparks flying out of them when Phoebe Cates explains why she doesn't like Christmas. No irony either. No tongue in cheek. She's just dad went out Christmas Eve, never came back. Her and her mom looking. They went to light a fire, noticed a smell coming from the chimney.
What are you gonna do?
Thought I've studied it. Thought there was an animal in there, a bird or a raccoon. Firemen broke open the chimney, found dad's decomposing corpse, and that's why she doesn't like Christmas. Couldn't be a Jew. Just doesn't like Christmas. That's why. Awesome. And here's the thing, too. Yes. For every third movie, someone's trying to crawl down a chimney. Flus are the size of your fist. You couldn't get your... You have difficulty getting your arm down most of them. They have dampeners on the top and stuff. They have a fire shelf on the bottom, which is long and narrow. And just go ahead and reach your hand up your chimney. See how far you can get it up from the fireplace.
Yeah.
Can't get your forearm through the shelf.
Leave it to film.
All right.
Here we go.
Take a quick break. Be right back after this.
I feel so liquidy.
Really?
You're listening to Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. Loveline will be right back.
Loveline, that's what I'm talking about. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191er. That's Military Talk, kiddies.
I want to hear another one of the favorites that Adam put down here for us. Adam Markey.
Adam, the guy who sent us these nuts a meeting right now.
Yeah. Dave Don Greer making up names.
Oh,
yeah,
names.
I
want to
hear
edition.
That. Can I hear that one?
I want to hear the long form one of those and hear Drew piling.
I got a basically big for the long.
All right, but basically, we were talking to a girl about the kinds of things you can use for a morning after pill, the different chemicals, the different birth control pills, and what needs to be in the pill in order for it to be effective.
Mm-hmm.
The actual chemical names, and all of a sudden, David launched.
Now, Drew, let's be fair. Not all of a sudden. I said those would make good names, and you kept trying to overpower Dave and keep going with the list until about 10 minutes into it, you caught on. It was funny.
But he did launch into a bunch.
Oh, he's a talent. I just, if you listen to the long form tape, you can hear you going,
or 2 milligrams of Norethindra.
Information out
Dave
that I had to get out.
Named Norethindra.
Yeah. Those, and again, it's take a dose of that now and a dose 12 hours later. That's what you need. There can also be the 100 micrograms of estradiol. You have polycystic ovarian disease.
But
Okay, and what's your question?
Hey, well, guys, I just messed up. I was playing it for you on air, but you couldn't even hear it. So.
Oh,
okay. Well, hold on. Let's hear it.
Everyone else did, except for you guys, and you started talking.
The whole thing?
Yeah, no, not the whole thing. It's like 2.5 minutes, so.
Yeah. We got to finish with Julie quick.
All right, hurry.
All right, Julie.
Okay.
You have a question about it?
I do. I just wanted to know what you think about my situation. So
I was skinny before, about 17% body fat, and then I got pregnant, and I ballooned up to like 280 pounds right before I had my daughter.
What's your question?
Denise,
well, my question is, I had frequent lapses in my menstrual cycle before, and then after I was pregnant, after I had the baby, I just wouldn't stop bleeding. So my doctor prescribed Yasmin birth control pills for me,
right?
Which those are fine, but I was just wondering, and my doctor couldn't figure out why I was bleeding so much afterwards, and it lasted for almost a year.
Well, just being overweight, first of all, being overweight can do that. It makes you sort of have non-ovulatory cycles, and being overweight can sort of induce polycystic ovarian. On the other hand, PCO is associated with what you've got, which is a big weight gain or just being obese, and insulin resistance. You may want to get on some glucophage. It helps decrease the risk of insulin.
Back to the doctor.
All right, here we go.
All right, Julie, we got here David Unger. Sorry, buddy.
Or 2 milligrams of norethindrone.
Dave has a sister named Norethindrone.
Yeah, those, and again, it's take a dose of that now and a dose 12 hours later. That's what you need. There can also be the 100 micrograms of ethinyl estradiol,
Ethinyl estradiol.
It's the progesterone. It's the levonorgestrel.
And where is levonorgestrel?
Or the norethindrone.
Norethindrone. Put that wiffle ball back down. Come in the house. Show behind. I'm sick of these kids, man. Norethindrone, what? What is it? Epinestrol?
Drew, what else? My dang name is kids.
Mifepristone. Mifepristone.
I'm here to pick up Mifepristone. Mifepristone. Mifepristone, Mephistopheles. If you don't get into this Dodge Comet at the count of three, I will wear your behind out. And get Aspiril, your sister, please.
Drew, what else you got?
Norgestrel.
Norgestrel. Norgestrel. Did you take my beer can? Norgestrel.
One more, Drew. Just one.
Well, norethindrone, that was the original one.
Got to be one more. Come on. Come on.
Oh, my God.
Anything. It could be for high blood pressure.
Noliparus.
Noliparus, you are my oldest son. I have become... Noliparus, please. Bring your bicycle in the backyard. Street lights is on. Now, come on, stop now. Stop. Stop playing.
David Alan Greer in studio tonight.
Oh, my.
It just cracks me up. Norethindrone. Take a quick break. Be right back after this.
If you need help,
call Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191.
That's it. That's the show. That's the week. I want to thank Patricia for doing a great job on the phones. Rick for doing a great job on the boards. Marcus doing a great job on the boards. This sounds like we have quite a crew here. It's just everyone works Michelle, an hour and then leaves.
Anderson.
Michelle doing a great job. The magic fingered one. Engineered Anderson. Engineer Anderson. Of course, Junior.
This would not make the top 10.
Junior producer Lauren for doing a great job all week, and producer Ann. And until next time, Adam Kroll for Dr. Drew saying,
"Hi,
mahalo." How does the check cashing place pay? Just gives you an hourly rate?
I'm not going to tell you that. You'll mock it. It's probably like 300 times less than what you guys make.
I would kill myself if that was true. I really would.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or the station. The producer for Loveline is Annie Golden. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.